And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, we find you today in San Francisco. What's taking place in the city by the bay?
Well, it's a beautiful sunny day, fall day in San Francisco. This is the weekend of the Hard Assets Conference, arguably one of the bigger and better investment conferences in the mining industry in the United States.
Okay. We wanted to take a look at graphite for this installment of the program, Mickey. And whenever we zero in on a particular mineral, you like to kick things off with a bit of a history lesson for our listeners. So what can you tell us about graphite?
Well, graphite is pure carbon, and it's one of the two allotropes of carbon, the other being diamond. And it has almost exact opposite properties of diamond. Diamond has a hardness of 10, which is as high as it goes, and carbon, graphite has a hardness of between 1 and 2. It is essentially the pure form of coal. There are several man-made varieties, but we won't really deal with those. But it's a good electrical conductor. It's in hexagonal sheets, which they slide against each other, which makes it a very good lubricant. It is a thermal insulator. It's black as coal. It was first used to mark sheep in Cumbria, England, in the 1500s, and at that time it was developed to insulate or shield molds for making cannonballs, so it made the cannonballs rounder and less pitted and more efficient in the air.
Okay, well, from sheep farmers in England, of course, the uses for graphite obviously have expanded incredibly. How else is this mineral used? And are advances in technology expanding the demand for graphite?
To answer your first question, it's used mainly about a third in the steel and foundry industries, a third in the refractory industries, increasing applications for brakes for heavy-duty vehicles with a phase-out of asbestos. The aforementioned lubricants constitute a small part of the market. And it's also the lead in your pencil, Rob. So the traditional uses are very well set and growing, especially in the steelmaking industry. There are also new high-tech uses that are looming on the horizon.
Okay, one of those high-tech uses. I believe alternate powered vehicles plays into this, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and that's in the lithium-ion battery. 10 times the amount of graphite in a lithium-ion battery compared to lithium. It also has future uses in fuel cells, and an important use is likely to be in pebble bed nuclear reactors, where you essentially encase the uranium in a graphite ball. They operate at higher temperatures. They can be small modular reactors, lower capex, cooled by inert gases and not water, and they cool down naturally so you wouldn't have the meltdown possibilities.
Okay, and once again, Mickey, I understand that this is yet another mineral that the dominant player on the global scale is China. Just like rare earths, China, I believe, controls the majority of graphite. Can you tell us about how much production comes out of China? And you just outlined a long list of how this mineral is used. Tell us about the supply side of things. Do we have enough on the world stage now to meet that growing use?
Okay, well, China supplies about 70% of the world's supply, but there's several kinds of graphite. There's flake graphite, there's amorphous graphite, there is what is called lump or vein graphite, which is quite rare and commands a very high premium. But going back to the flake end, there's large flake and small flake graphite. So the large flake is in greater demand, and the supply is very restricted. So the Chinese are consuming more and more internally for steel consumption, and because of that, they've put on export duties and value-added tax and export licenses. In addition, the Chinese have high-graded their deposits, especially in the 90s when they flooded the market and caused shutdown of a lot of graphite mines, especially in North America. So they are now mining lower grades and poorer quality. So that all adds up to a shortage, especially of large flake graphite. So there is a niche market there that needs to be filled. Because of that, we've seen increasing prices for large flake graphite.
Okay, now large flake graphite, outside of China, are there a lot of areas in the world where this mineral, this type of graphite can be found?
Sure, there's lots of graphite projects and lots of past producing graphite mines, several in Canada, for instance. So it's not that hard to find graphite. We know where the deposits are. It's a matter of getting them up and running again or getting new ones in production.
Yeah, would you say that market conditions today, Mickey, in addition to the rising price for this mineral, you mentioned there are a lot of past graphite mining operations out there. Are market conditions playing into these past producing properties becoming producers again? Is it economically viable for these to be brought back on stream?
Well, in some instances, certainly. We've seen a steep rise in large flake prices from somewhere around a high of $900 in 2009, $900 a ton, to $2,500 a ton, with a range of $2,000 to $2,500 this year. So we do see prices that are attractive at this point, and with the projected increased demand and shortages, it will open up some opportunities in this market.
Okay, well, tell us about the type of investing opportunities the graphite story presents today. Is this a sector of the mining industry that investors should be wading into, or at least looking at some possibilities?
Well, I think so. It's a niche market. It's not really a small market. There's about 1.1 million tons produced per year, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you compare, that's equal to the worldwide nickel market. It's about five times the molybdenum market, to put it in perspective. So being somewhat of a niche market, though, with small deposits, it would play into the junior resource sector. Low capex to put these things in production. I think most juniors would be looking at open pit mine operations. So low capex, low cost operation. There are lots of small deposits worldwide. Especially attractive are some in Canada and even in Europe. The large flake supply demand fundamentals and projected increases in uses would encourage deposits that contain large flake graphite to be put in production. The beneficiation is relatively straightforward. It's a flotation process with an acid wash to remove impurities. So all in all, it would play into the junior resource sector. There's a couple of juniors that are listed right now that have legitimate deposits. I'll leave it to the readers to do their own due diligence and research on that. I am as excited enough about the graphite market that I've recently participated in a startup company, a private company that will soon be public, with a past producing graphite deposit in Scandinavia.
Okay, well, that's a good way to wrap this one up, Mickey. Next time out, what do you want to tackle?
Well, this is the final show of what we would call the fall conference season in North America, so I think let's go in and do a wrap on the six or seven shows that have occurred since the summer field season ended, and a wrap of the markets and maybe a look at what's ahead in the coming year.
Okay, good stuff. Mickey, travel safe. Enjoy the Hard Asset Show in San Francisco, and we'll reconnect in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks, Rob.
Okay, that's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.